What an amazing morning it has been to hear the words of Kevin with our children, Rusty, Kristen, Kent, the music. What a beautiful morning. I kind of feel like I don't want to ruin it. What does the Lord require of me? Or for you, for that matter? Most of us know the scripture so well, I have it hanging on the wall in the front of my living room. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. Well, it's a very beautiful, poetic message. We generally jump right to the point. We kind of miss 1 through 7, and we jump right to that last phrase. What does the Lord require of us? What else, I wonder, do you even know about Micah? We don't know much. We know that there are 7 short chapters in this book that falls under the minor prophets. But in this 6th chapter, written like a poem, the setting is a courtroom. And how we are to live is quite simply the final verdict. Our other scripture today is the Beatitudes. Rusty read those earlier for us. And Matthew is one of the 2 places we read the Beatitudes. Many really prefer the Luke 6 setting. While many of you are just as familiar with this scripture, the Micah scripture is much easier to learn and remember and keep on the front of our minds. Wednesday night, as we played the Bible Bowl game, Bible Jeopardy, really, one of the categories was the Beatitudes. It was fun to see how many of you remembered and knew the Beatitudes. Is this Micah scripture and the Beatitudes, are they really any different? Or can you take the 2 and place them together? I guess it sounds easier to say, do justice, rather than blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, or blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. One question that I would ask that you try and think about today and as you spend time in our scripture, can you match up those Beatitudes to what we're required to do? Does meeting the requirements result in being blessed? Do blessings require action on our part? To be honest, it's a little difficult to think about what God requires of us, isn't it? We don't really like to be required to do much, do we? What is required of us these days? I can think of some if you're gonna's that are required. Like, if you're gonna drive a car, you have to have a driver's license, which requires that you pass a test and be a certain age. If you're gonna earn income, you have to pay taxes. If you're gonna leave the country, you have to have a passport. If you have a certain job, you have to meet certain requirements. I guess if you want to get paid for your job, you have to do your job. A requirement is something you absolutely have to do. It's a necessity. I had to get out of bed today and come here and deliver this sermon because it's what my job, what you all require of me. We don't like to think about requirements, do we? We usually follow them, but some of us follow them closer than others. When I used to teach school, I could usually tell you by the end of the first day of school, and I'm looking at some teachers in this room who I think will agree with me, by the first day of school, you could tell which one of those kids were going to be the kids that were going to follow the rules to the letter of the law, and those that were going to push the edge and look for the loopholes and try to do as little as possible. You know them. You know both kinds of people as adults. You know the kind of people who like to follow the rules. And you also know those who like to look for the loopholes. So what does the Lord require of us? To do justice. The word mishpat is the Hebrew word used, and it means judgment or judiciously. And there are 9 words in the Bible that are associated with that word, mishpat. They are widowed, fatherless, orphans, poor, hungry, strangers, needy, weak, and oppressed. These are who, according to the scripture, we are to seek justice for. I think it's important here to note that the word says to do justice. The Hebrew word here is osah, and it means to make. It's not enough for us to be just people. We also need to be involved in doing or making justice. For example, there's a mother of a 52-year-old developmentally disabled girl who was concerned about what she could do for her daughter when she died. She was getting to what she called the shorter part of the string. Her daughter lived in a group home, but because many of these types of homes are being closed down because lack of funding and difficulty meeting certain standards, the mother was doing everything in her power to find answers. Working to find funding, working for laws to assist the disabled. Going to visit the girl or being kind to the girl isn't justice. It certainly is a kind thing to do and needed thing to do. But justice is making sure that this girl and others like her have a roof over their head, meals every day, and someone to take care of them. We're called to do or make justice. Not notice it. Not sit around the table at dinner and talk about what the things should be done. It's getting out and making sure that those who are being treated unjustly have a voice and have someone in their corner helping to turn things around. It's easy when things get tough to bury our head in the sand and just pretend that the things in this world will take care of themselves. But there are problems. Problems that aren't going to change if we as the people of God don't stand up and say, these people deserve justice. Then we're called to love kindness. That's a little bit easier, isn't it? We all know what kindness is. It's compassion and sympathy and being helpful and sharing. I see it every day in this congregation. I see people who help one another, people who comfort one another, people who call and check on one another, people who write notes to one another. We know how to act kindly to one another. And I would say you do it so naturally because of the love you've experienced. The scripture goes so far as to say, love kindness. That might be a little bit different. It means that we not only act kindly, we love acting kindly. I really thought about this a little bit. Are there times when I like to see people get a little bit of their just reward? If I want justice, does that mean sometimes people are going to get a little bit of unkindness if they're treating others unjustly? But I think this scripture is saying we aren't going to enjoy seeing that. The person that's been mistreating others gets caught and the tables turned. But we still must love kindness. We can't enjoy seeing pain because we love when kindness prevails. We don't just try and act kindly. When others are treated unkindly, even perhaps if they deserve it. That's a harder pill to swallow, isn't it? Loving people who have done wrong. And then we're to walk humbly before our God. Both words here are important. The first is walking. Walking implies that we slow our pace. We don't run alongside God. We walk. Walking is a more deliberate, slow pace. When we're walking humbly, we are sacrificing our own needs to meet the needs of another. We are to deliberately and carefully set aside our own needs to listen to the needs of God. What does God ask of me? Not what do I have to offer God. We're called to set aside our own needs. I know we're all busy, but we weren't told to do what we can after we do all that we do for ourselves. We are called to put God first, to walk humbly with your God. Setting aside your needs to spend time with your Creator. And in order for God to be my God, for God to be your God, you must set aside your own life and walk with God. May we be blessed people, not because we deserve some blessing, but because we've done what God has called us to do. We have made justice. We have loved kindness. And we have walked humbly with our God. Amen.